Ave Maria in the Afternoon is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Welcome to Ave Maria in the Afternoon, examining the world through the lens of faith from the heart of the Church to help us navigate the culture. Here's Dr. Marcus Peter.
Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us on this hour of Ave Maria in the Afternoon. I'm Ox Peter. Starting off our Wednesdays, as usual, with our friend Andrea Pichotti-Bear, who is legal analyst for EWTN News, and she joins us to talk about the new session of the Supreme Court beginning on October the 6th. There are already several cases on the docket that are of true interest to Catholics, and for those of us who are concerned about the narrative of freedom of religion, freedom of speech, and the social conservative narrative in general, and so these are important cases that we ought to keep an eye out for. We'll talk more about that with her. We go on from there to speak with Kelly Solomon. If you're looking at colleges, one way, especially you as parents, but also those of you listening right now who are actually considering going to college. College costs are continuing to rise, but also with concerns about what's being taught on college campuses, as well as campus culture. Students and parents want to choose a school that will set them up for success without damaging their spiritual lives, but that's not an easy decision to make today, unfortunately, and that's why the Newman Guide is hosting a free virtual college fair on October the 9th. Kelly is going to join us with details about the fair, and she's going to give us details as to about how to sign up for the fair, but more than that, about the innumerable resources that the Newman Guide gives out to help parents and children, frankly, make decisions about where they wish to discern and go for their tertiary education. And then finally, we speak with my former professor, Dr. Roger Nutt. 35 years ago, John Paul II promulgated his Apostolic Constitution, Ex Cordia Ecclesiae. He begins this document by stating that the Catholic University is born from the heart of the Church. We discuss what it means to be at the heart of the Church with Dr. Roger Nutt, because every single time you see Catholic universities cease being Catholic, and yes, I'm stating this very clearly, it is because they cease being magisterially faithful. And so it is incumbent upon Catholic universities, if they wish to call themselves a Catholic institution, to constantly appeal to the heart of the Church, the authority of the magisterium. And so the deposit of faith that's been handed down and remained unbroken to this very day needs to be the primary appeal to all of the ways in which education and the work of education is done on Catholic campuses. Dr. Roger Nutt joins us for that. All this after the headlines.
Thanks, Marcus. Good afternoon, everyone. This is your Ave Maria Radio News for Wednesday, September 24th. It's the Feast of Our Lady of Walsingham. Today's news brought to you by Visiting Angels, providing loving care and assistance for seniors in need. VisitingAngels.com. At least one detainee is dead and two are in critical condition after a shooter opened fire on a Dallas ICE facility. ICE Deputy Director Madison Sheehan.
They're seeing this anti-ICE rhetoric all over the place. We're being compared to the Gestapo, to the Nazis, and that's just not true. And it's dangerous rhetoric that puts us in situations like this.
The shooter was found dead from a self-inflicted gunshot wound at a nearby apartment building. Jimmy Kimmel's return last night stole headlines, but California Governor Gavin Newsom appeared on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Donald Trump is trying to rig the midterm elections, and how I fear that we will not have an election in 2028. I really mean that.
Newsom also spoke about Proposition 50, which is meant to counteract Republican-led efforts to redraw congressional districts in Texas. Google says YouTube accounts that were permanently banned for political speech could be reinstated. The tech giant provided a document to a House committee Tuesday claiming it faced pressure from the Biden administration to remove content about COVID-19, but now says YouTube values conservative voices. There's been a huge rise in a dangerous type of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. The CDC says between 2019 and 2023, certain infections rose by more than 460% in the U.S. That includes pneumonia, bloodstream infections, urinary tract infections, and wound infections. NASA says its plans to launch humans beyond low Earth orbit in February. If it happens, it'll be the first time in more than 50 years. The space agency is saying that the Artemis II mission would also send four astronauts around the moon and back. From your AveMariaRadio.net news desk, I'm Steve Clark.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Vita. The Supreme Court begins its new session on October the 6th. There are already several cases on the docket that are of interest to Catholics. Andrea Picciotti-Bear joins us, legal analyst for EWTN News, director of the Conscience Project. Follow her work at conscience-project.org. Andrea, so great to speak with you as always. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you, Marcus, and it's great to be with you. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. And But I received this email from you with some level of hope. So let's begin here with some of the statements of Justice Samuel Alito in greeting Pope Leo XIV in St. Peter's Square.
Yeah, no, this was a really nice opportunity. As you know, the justices in between the terms go and they give talks and they teach classes across the country and across the globe. And Justice Samuel Alito, who people may remember as being the author of the important Dobbs decision mm-hmm. and other really important religious freedom cases, frequently goes to Rome. And this year he was in Rome and he was able to greet briefly Pope Leo. And then he also was able to speak with lawmakers mm-hmm. That were gathered together in Rome for a gathering of the Jubilee of Justice. And in an extended interview, he spoke about the importance of having our justice kind of dovetailing with mercy in our legal system, and that mercy should be, quote, built into laws. He also, an interesting, you know, and I my ears perk up for that, but then also he said that religious freedom across the globe is under attack. And I think he specifically pointed out a number of hot spots of grave persecution, Marcus, that you and I have spoken about, yeah. Nicaragua, Nigeria, Iraq, but also mentioned, you know, the real affronts to religious freedom here at home as being things. And he said that it is a great matter of concern for all Christians. And so that really does kind of center us, that as people of faith, we should be concerned about attacks on religious freedom, persecution of Christians. And it's really heartening to know that one of our nation's, you know, most influential jurists is mindful of that.
Yep. And considering that, I also want to ask if you could also highlight one of the things that he stated about questions of religious liberty, because you and I constantly talk about how every person who professes faith ought to be at the forefront of dialoguing and fighting for this.
No, absolutely. And we know that from the teachings of the church, right? The church's Declaration on Religious Freedom is a good guide, that it's mm-hmm. not just about preserving our individual rights, but it's also good for the church. And actually being free from coercion respects the free will that God has given each one of us. And at the same time, we're able to stand kind of convicted in our belief that the church is the kind of depository of the plenitude of truth. So it's not, you know, saying that all religions are created equal, but it's in recognition that God wants us to come to him freely.
And so because of this, as we take a look at some of the cases on the docket for the Supreme Court, we have to keep this in mind. The church has exhorted all of us that the fight for religious liberty is endowed by, well, religious liberty is endowed by the Lord, and so it is incumbent upon us to take on that moral responsibility. Can you tell us about what we have to look forward to this year, or this session?
You know, so already there are four cases that I kind of looked at as being interesting for people of faith. Interestingly, none of them are free exercise cases, but they touch upon the right of believers to live free from either persecution or coercion here in the United States. The first is dealing with a licensed counselor in Colorado, Kaylee Childs, and she is pushing back against the state's ban on quote-unquote conversion therapy. And this is, as everyone knows, Colorado mm-hmm. is kind of one of the greatest wrongdoers when it comes to compelling speech by people that they have regulatory control over, mm-hmm. whether it's someone that's, you know, designing websites or baking cakes, or in this case, a licensed psychologist. And she is saying that, you know, look, you're telling me that if some young person comes to me concerned about gender dysphoria, I can't help them embrace their biological reality, even if that's why they're coming to me. You know, she's a Christian counselor and wants to help, especially young people, face through some of these challenges consistent with their created state. And under the law, not only can she not support them to embrace their biological reality, she's told that she has to support the real conversion or the real transfer to something that's inconsistent with their reality, to a transgender state. And this is, you know, again, it touches upon issues of free speech, but it really at the heart of it, I think, shows the nature of how believers aren't willing to act inconsistent with their belief. And the Constitution actually protects their right to act consistent.
And unfortunately, every time these cases show up in Colorado, they wind up getting kicked all the way to the Supreme Court. And thankfully, as you and I have been seeing, the Supreme Court winds up erring on the side of these constitutional liberties.
You know, time and time again, the Supreme Court is doing its job, mm-hmm. which is vindicating the rights that are enshrined in the Constitution. You know, this case is being brought by Alliance Defending Freedom. They've been great champions of their clients. And, you know, we should all be praying for Ms. Childs, because this is going to be very difficult, and there are going to be a lot of people attacking her and throwing kind of the bigot card at her.
Yep.
Whereas what she's really trying to do is serve her clients in the best way she believes God is asking of her.
Yep, in accordance with her religious beliefs. So yes, let's pray for Kaylee Childs. Tell us a little bit about West Virginia versus BPJ and Hecox versus Little.
So, yeah, these are two consolidated cases. They haven't been set for oral argument, but I believe that they're going to be heard together. And they're basically involving West Virginia's law, basically mandating that female sports are for females and not allowing biological males who identify as trans women or trans girls to compete. There are challenges, one in defense of the law mm-hmm. from a female athlete, and the other challenging the law from a boy who wants to compete as a girl. And, you know, there's a lot of shenanigans going on right now by the ACLU that's challenging the law, making procedural claims about the law itself. But it's very interesting that the court seems to be interested in continuing its clarification that the Constitution doesn't create a special protected class for people who identify as trans, but instead is really about equal protection for identifiable classes, and that gender ideology is kind of this hard to pin down set of definitions, and the law really doesn't work that way. It's also trying to challenge, you know, that our laws protecting fairness for mm-hmm. women and girls in education are really for women and girls, and they shouldn't be expanded to almost erase the gains that women and girls have seen through sports and other opportunities in education. So I think it's very promising that the court chose those two cases. Mm-hmm. You know, there will be, like I mentioned before, some challenges that are only interesting for lawyers as far as procedural issues. But they do, again, for Catholics, for other Christians who understand in our, you know, our God created us male and female, these are cases that we should care about. And these are lawmakers that we should be standing up for and defending for trying to protect, you know, our created identities.
There's so much more I want to ask and follow up, but you and I will have these conversations in the future. So I want to jump ahead then to First Choice Women's Resource Centers versus Platkin.
Yeah, no, this is like, how many times can lawmakers, progressive lawmakers, go after pro-life pregnancy centers?
Yep.
And it'll be very interesting to have the conversation as this case is heard by the Supreme Court.
Andrea, thank you so very much for doing all this work and being at the forefront of this fight for religious liberty.
It's my pleasure, Marcus, and thanks for having me on.
Always a joy. My guest has been Andrea Pejorti-Bea, legal analyst for EWTN News and director of the Conscience Project. We've been talking about cases on the Supreme Court's October the 6th docket and how it pertains to us. I'm Marcus Peter.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
You like pizza?
Me too.
And for that, we can thank our friend, Tom Monahan. First, he starts with $900 and opens one pizza shop. Then it's worldwide, thousands of shops. But all this was just a warm-up for his greatest achievement yet. He built a university.
God inspired Tom to build up generations of men and women who have a hunger to reach the world for Christ. This place is Ave Maria University.
Visit avemaria.edu to see what's next.
On the next Epiphany.
Hi, Vanessa Denha Garmo here. Ed Van Buskirk will be here to discuss the nonprofit If You Love Me that focuses on educating on God's Ten Commandments. RJ Lomas from the Chesterton Academy of St. George in Jackson will tell us about some events they have coming up, including an open house.
Epiphany, weekdays at noon on Ave Maria Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mark Speter. College costs continue to rise, along with concerns about what is being taught on college campuses. Students and parents want to choose a school that will set them up for success without damaging their spiritual lives, but that's not an easy decision to make. And that's why the Newman Guide is hosting a free virtual college fair on October the 9th. Kelly Salomon joins us to talk about this. Kelly is the Vice President for Newman Guide Programs at the Cardinal Newman Society. Kelly, it's great to speak with you again. How are you?
Great to be back on with you. Thank you for having me on.
No, it's always a joy when we get to connect. And you and I share similar visions for the future of academia. And I said it once, I'll say it again. I genuinely believe it's Catholic colleges and institutions that are going to become the hubs of cultural renewal. And so tell us about this October the 9th fair and why is it important that we have it?
Yes, you know, Dr. Peter, I think that is a beautiful analogy you made about Catholic colleges being the new hubs transforming the culture like monasteries were in other centuries. And I think that's so true. If you look at what's happening on the most faithful Catholic colleges in the country that we recommend in the Newman Guide, you see that strong integration of faith and reason. You see a strong core curriculum. You see a vibrant spiritual life. You see joyful, happy students who are pursuing their career and also figuring out what God wants them to do with their lives. And so I strongly encourage families to look at the Newman Guide when navigating the college search. And one great way to do that is our upcoming Newman Guide Virtual College Fair on October 9th. It's a free online event, great for high school students and their parents. Students will be able to chat live with admissions representatives from 20 Newman Guide colleges. They'll be able to visit their booths. They'll learn more about potential scholarships. They will receive free college merchandise, and they'll also hear from speakers throughout the day with tips on navigating the college search.
So let's start there then. Let's expand that conversation more. The fact of the matter is the tertiary education sphere has become all but oversaturated, and having taught high school for some time, I can tell you honestly, students tend to find themselves crippled in terms of making decisions, but what makes it worse is many of them have no idea why they want to go to college, let alone what they want to do in college.
Right. Yes. You know, we see more and more students choosing to not go to college. We see this demographic cliff that colleges are facing, with there being less college-age students than there have been in previous years due to a declining marriage and birth rate. We see more and more colleges closing, even including several Catholic ones, every year. Mm-hmm. And so it really is a good opportunity for families to step back and say, what is this education all about? Mm-hmm. Can we find a place where our students can actually be formed, where they can grow in wisdom and in virtue, where the campus will uphold Catholic values across campus life? I mean, the Cardinal Newman Society has reported on issues in Catholic and secular education for 30 years, and we see so many examples of campuses leading students astray. And so that's why we recommend these good colleges in the Newman Guide.
And the recommendation of these good Newman Guide colleges also means that we can acknowledge that there are some universities out there that don't have a true appeal to the heart of the church, and therefore magisterial fidelity or a Catholic moral ethos on campus.
That's right. You know, we see things like professors teaching things that are anti-Catholic. We see campus performances and events that run contrary to the faith. We see performances like drag shows. We see pro-abortion commencement speakers being honored. And the list goes on, unfortunately, at what too many students experience and don't expect a lot of times at some of our Catholic or secular universities. And I know, Dr. Peter, you've experienced Newman Guide education yourself. I'd love for you to share a little bit about the difference you saw in your graduate work at Ave Maria University.
Well, honestly, as you and I talked about in the past, the fact of the matter is there's a marked difference between a secularist perspective of education and one that's grounded in the heart of the church. The freedom to be able to experience and explore the fullness of truth and morality without being hindered and with the guidance of grace in Jesus Christ is simply unparalleled. So that's why I have a great appreciation for what the Newman Guide is doing.
Yes, you know, you step onto these campuses, go into a daily mass. I encourage students and parents to do this. When they visit campus, go and step into a daily mass on campus, and you'll see it overflowing with students at Newman Guide recommended colleges. This is where they'll make friendships that will build them up in their faith, where they'll be propelled in their career and in their vocation. And, you know, after attending our online Newman Guide College Fair on October 9th, I think that many parents and students will want to visit these campuses in person.
And that's one of the hopes that we have by virtue of this session on October the 9th. So once again, for the sake of all of our listeners, for those who just joined us as well, October the 9th, this is a free virtual fair that the Newman Guide is putting out. Give us the details, please.
Yes. So if you go to CardinalNewmanSociety.org, N-E-W-M-A-N, CardinalNewmanSociety.org, you can register for our free virtual Newman Guide College Fair. Registration is required to attend the event. You'll also get the recordings from the event if you register for the event. And you'll be able to chat with admissions representatives from these different Newman Guide colleges, check out these virtual booths representing each of the colleges. And then we have a great lineup of speakers, two during the daytime and two in the evening session. So some Catholic schools will have their students tune in to our daytime session, and many homeschoolers join as well. So we have a youth minister in the morning talking about why he tells high schoolers to choose Newman Guide colleges from his perspective. We also have a session on the athletics and activities and popular majors at Newman Guide colleges. We get many questions about how can I find the right fit for my child? And so that's a great session to attend on all of the different wide variety of offerings that are available at Newman Guide colleges, while all of these colleges remain rooted in a strong Catholic identity, a strong core curriculum, a vibrant camp spiritual life. And then our evening session is a parent and educator on the value of a lifelong Catholic education, and also the perspective of a chaplain. And this is a really beautiful story of a student, Jared Wolf, who went off to a Newman Guide college primarily to play football. And little did he know that it would impact his faith and his vocation. He's now a Catholic priest ministering on a Newman Guide college mm-hmm. campus, the University of Mary. And so he's going to talk about his advice for high school students and what they should look for in choosing a Catholic college.
And ultimately, when we're looking at universities for children, the most important thing, I know you work for the Newman Guide, and therefore that lends you the greatest credence to say this. What's the most important thing that parents ought to be thinking about in terms of a child's tertiary education?
Yes, you have to think about their eternal salvation.
Amen.
You know, we can get so caught up in, you know, this particular major, this sport, or this location, or this or that. And, you know, I can speak from experience that I, you know, was able to pursue, I played tennis in college, I was able to pursue a particular major, I had all of these opportunities, but I found it at a Newman Guide college. And what a difference that made of being in a place where I was able to grow in my faith, make good friendships, and really receive an amazing education, something that I not quite experienced before, true exposure to the liberal arts and all reading some of the greatest books that the greatest thinkers have ever written.
And because of that, this fair is going to help guide people down a proper discernment of that spirituality that is so necessary for their eternal salvation. So before we end this segment, Kelly, I want to also ask you to share about everything that the Newman Guide does for the good of parents and students.
Yes. So the Cardinal Newman Society has been around for 30 years. Our founder and president is Patrick Riley. And we put out the Newman Guide, which is now extended actually into K-12 schools through colleges and through graduate programs. And so we want to lead families to faithful Catholic education. Hundreds of thousands of families come to our website every year seeking out Catholic education. And on the opposite side of that coin, we also work closely with Catholic school principals and college leaders to help them strengthen their Catholic identity and to meet the standards of the Newman Guide.
Well, thank you very, very much for all your time, Kelly. And we'll be sure to include this information on our website as well. Thank you for joining us.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
My guest has been Kelly Salomon. She is Vice President for Newman Guide Programs at the Cardinal Newman Society. We've been talking about how on October the 9th, the Newman Guide will be putting out a free virtual fair for parents and students to discern what college they'd like to go to. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
I don't think we've replaced our siding since we moved in 20 years ago. But I'm sure it's still fine, right?
Better call Mighty Dog Roofing of Ann Arbor.
Damaged siding can cause mold buildup and weaken your home structure. Protect your family by calling local Catholics Dan and Mary Flanagan at Mighty Dog Roofing for a free inspection of your siding, roof, or windows. Mighty Dog Roofing, 734-224-4916. That's 734-224-4916.
St. Therese once told her sister Celine that when we trust ourselves and not God, our soul becomes barren and incapable of virtue. Her remedy? External works of charity. We all try to do it on our own sometimes without asking for God's help. At St. Paul Evangelization, we suggest sharing the gospel with someone who needs it. Check out streetevangelization.com to find a team near you where you can share the love of Jesus. If there isn't one in your area yet, perhaps God is calling you to start a team in your city. To learn more, visit streetevangelization.com.
Ave Maria School of Law is the Roman Catholic law school in the United States. Consistently ranked in the Princeton Review as one of the best and most conservative law schools, as well as pre-law's most devout law school. Ave Maria School of Law provides a traditional legal education while emphasizing how the law intersects with the Catholic intellectual tradition and natural law philosophy. Ave Maria School of Law, unabashedly Catholic, consistently excellent. For more information, visit avemarialaw.edu.
This week on Christ is the Answer, we continue Father John's RCIA for Catholics series. Over the years of pastoring a church, Father John noticed that converts to Catholicism almost always know their newly found faith much better than their cradle Catholic brothers and sisters. So he put together an RCIA for Catholics series. Join us this week as Father John shows us the reasons for hope and why we must be good. Tune in for Christ is the Answer Monday through Fridays at 11 a.m. on Ave Maria Radio.
Food for the Journey, Sister Ann Shield.
Sometimes people will say to me, I try to follow God, but it's just too hard, or it's just too much, or I don't hear Him, or I don't know Him. And I always ask the question, how much time do you spend with Him? How much time do you give God? Even if you start out giving God 15 minutes a day, first thing in the morning if you can, but 15 minutes a day, read His Word, read the scripture readings for the Mass that day. But read His Word and ask God to speak to your heart, and He's going to draw you to Himself. No wonder we're so harried and so distressed in so many ways. And I know there are external things, but when we trust the Lord, when we know we're not alone with our difficulties, we find a peace. Even in the middle of the storm, we can find a peace because God will share his own life with us. Really urge you, brothers and sisters, please make God the center of your life, the center of your priorities. Let him be the determining factor for what you do, what you don't do, what your relationships are like. Let him be the determining factor, and you're going to know a peace and a happiness that the world, and no matter what the world throws at us, will not be able to take away from you.
Food for the Journey with Sister Ann Shields can be now heard on the audio archives page at AveMariaRadio.net.
Underwritten in part by this not-for-profit.
Hi, this is Mike Ditka.
Hey, this is Brian May.
Hi, I'm Chris Farley. You're listening to The Kevin Matthews Show.
I thought he was insane. A lot of people thought he was insane.
Nobody could touch us. We had 10 million people listening to us a week.
That was my past. If you would have told me I'd be carrying around a broken statue of the Virgin Mary, talking about God, I'd say, are you high?
Broken Mary, The Kevin Matthews Story. In theaters one day only on Tuesday, October 7th. Tickets at BrokenMaryFilm.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Vita. 35 years ago now, John Paul II promulgated his apostolic constitution, Ex Corde Ecclesiae. He begins his document by stating that the Catholic University is born from the heart of the Church. We discuss what that means to be at the heart of the Church with Dr. Roger Nutt. Dr. Roger Nutt is provost of Ave Maria University, where he also serves as professor of theology. Roger, it's so great to connect with you again. How are you?
Very well, Marcus. Thanks for having me on, and thanks for drawing attention to the 35th anniversary of this great document.
Well, if I'm being honest, how could I not? I remember my first day at Ave Maria University during the orientation. This was the topic of conversation that was presented to us, that any good Catholic university must do its work from the heart of the Church. And that sets the framework for how Ave Maria University teaches, especially the work of theology.
It sure does. We have drawn great inspiration from this document since the founding of the university. And quite frankly, I find it to be a source of witness and insight that goes much deeper than secular or narrower approaches to higher education.
I read the foreword that you wrote to Ave Maria University's publication of Ex Corde Ecclesiae, and I guess firstly, how can people get a copy of it? And secondly, I'd like to dive deeper into it.
Sure. The easiest way, without giving long URLs and all of that, is if people search Ave Maria University and then Ex Corde, it will take them right to a link that has a digital copy of the document with my introduction and our version. So Ave Maria University, Ex Corde, and it'll be the first thing that comes up in the search.
And I'm really glad for that. We'll also include this information in this link on our website. I want to start, therefore, with the inception and the reception of Ex Corde Ecclesiae. What was John Paul II trying to answer in writing it, and how was it initially received?
The short answer to the context for which he wrote it is that since the late 1960s, and I do cite in the introduction, we can talk about it more, there was a famous document that embodies this spirit called the Lando Lake document. Mm-hmm. Catholic universities in Europe and in North America declared an autonomy from the authority and tradition of the Church as something that was intrinsic to the university community as such. So similar to secular regimes breaking away from the Church in the 1960s, Catholic universities broke away from the Church in the name of autonomy and started to view the Church and her patrimony and her great teaching on the relationship between faith and reason to be something extrinsic to the university, even a Catholic university, and not a guiding force and animating principle. And that break from the church caused great damage to the quality of Catholic higher education and to the realization of the mission of Catholic higher education. And John Paul II was both trying to point that out and draw Catholic universities back into that tradition of fidelity and having an organic relationship with the church.
The one of the core issues with the Land O'Lakes statement was that at the time, by 67, Catholic universities wanted to establish a foothold in the secular sphere as well. So, and as usual, you've got good intent, but with a bad prescription. If you could comment on, by virtue of the Land O'Lakes statement, the tremendous damage that's been done to the work of, strictly speaking, Catholic education.
Yeah, I think the damage that has been done is that students at Catholic universities have been given a fragmented view of reality. Because the great gift that a Catholic university has to offer, that a Catholic university can offer better than any other university, is a vision of the full truth about reality. As God, or as John Paul II says in Ex Corde, the truth about God, man, and the world. And what happens is that the disciplines and their autonomy are not negated by this fuller vision. They're actually elevated so that students in their own lives, and then as they progress from their general studies into a major, are able to see themselves and their specialized learning in light of an organic and coherent view of reality. When that view is not offered, students are either reduced to the work that they will do in their profession, or they see some kind of a fissure between the teachings that their faith gave them and the specialized, isolated teachings that they're given in the university. So the degradation that has happened is that rather than help people see a reality from a coherent view, as the creation of God, they're left viewing themselves and their work and their courses and all of the things that they study in an incoherent view.
If I may also ask that you engage in a polemic of defense for the Catholic paradigm, because it's erroneous to think that the Catholic worldview is incompatible with free inquiry, with higher learning, and with the exploration of exchange of ideas.
Absolutely, and I will say this, and it might sound surprising, but I actually think that at faithful Catholic universities like Ave Maria University, there is more diversity and academic freedom than at their secular counterparts. As you know, we read interlocutors from Martin Luther to John Calvin to Karl Marx to Friedrich Nietzsche because we believe in the truth and we believe that we can provide a coherent response to those authors. Whereas I don't think at secular universities that authors like Aquinas and Augustine and Anselm are being studied nearly as much or with the fairness that Catholic universities study people who have disagreed with the Catholic view of reality. So it all comes down to the fact, Marcus, that if you believe in the truth, and if you believe in the power of reason to arrive at the truth, you can have a robust pursuit of inquiry without fear. If you don't believe in the truth or in an overarching view of the truth, then universities get siloed into power factions where there isn't really a collaborative and overarching commitment to a view of the truth that people can rest in with confidence.
This also really communicates the wondrous commitment of institutions like Ave Maria University to fidelity to the process of inquiry, and that really engenders some sound critical thinking individuals rather than individuals who are isolated into thinking along the lines of certain ideologies.
Absolutely. Again, the truth is the best formative tool. So the best way to become a logical and coherent thinker is to be under the tutelage of the truth. We all want to have the best teachers when we learn something. And at Catholic universities, we are able to stand on our own two feet, to acknowledge that there are problems and difficulties, and find our way through them because the truth is our guide and our light. And we must remember, too, that faith elevates and perfects reason. So being able to use reason in a critical way in a context in which faith can support it protects it from pride and protects it from error. So people don't appreciate how much studying in a culture of faith, where the faith guides the mind and also where worship and grace of the sacraments are present, really frees reason to aim higher than if it stands on its own.
We are continuing this conversation on the other side of the break with Dr. Roger Nutt. We're talking about Ex Corde Ecclesiae, this wonderful apostolic constitution that was put out by John Paul II as about Catholic universities as being born from the heart of the Church. Stay tuned. I'm Marcus Peter.
Catholic Charities of Shiawassee and Genesee Counties have been providing health and creating hope since 1941. It's the generosity of donors that allows them to provide necessary services such as their warming center, which provides refuge and comfort to thousands in our community. They also offer hot meals in their soup kitchens and help families make ends meet in their community closet. Even the smallest donation makes a meaningful difference. Join us in their mission by giving a donation at CatholicCharitiesFlint.org.
Underwritten in part by the following nonprofit.
Are you paying high prices with a traditional health insurance company that pays for things that violate your conscience? There's an alternative available. Solidarity HealthShare is a community of faithful individuals and families that never share into immoral medical services, all while saving you money with prices starting as low as $85 per month for singles and $512 for families. Never fund another abortion with your healthcare dollars. Call 844-313-4999 to learn more.
The doctor is in Ann Arbor. Don't miss this chance to join Dr. Ray's studio audience for tapings of his hit TV show, Living Right with Dr. Ray.
The live audience makes the show.
The tapings are October 28th and 29th. Two shows each night at 5:30 and 7:15 p.m. All shows are at Russell Video in Ann Arbor, and the cost is free.
Without the audience, there is no show.
Just sign up at AveMariaRadio.net.
Very much would love to see you.
Remember to take a minute this week to thank a priest you know for all the blessings he shares through his vocation. Our priests work tirelessly to bring us the sacraments and help us on our journey to heaven. Let's encourage them and express our gratitude for all of their sacrifices, like thank you for baptizing our children. Nominate your priest at thankyouforyourpriesthood.com, a new contest every month through September 2025, brought to you by Diocesan, your Catholic advertising and communications company.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popcheck.
What rituals does your family have? Family rituals aren't just nice things families do once in a while. They have to be regularly scheduled activities that everyone's expected to show up for. Family meals, family prayer time, game nights, movie nights, family days, family chore times are all examples of family rituals if they happen at regular, consistent times and everyone is expected to participate. Strong family rituals help a family become a real team. Research also shows that strong family rituals are the most important ways families communicate their faith and values to their kids. Family rituals teach us what's important to make time for. And that's why the rite of family rituals is one of the most important practices in the liturgy of domestic church life. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
Ave Maria in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you with one of 1,400 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 70% to Ave Maria Radio and Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
This program brought to you in part by Ave Maria Florida, a big kind of small town, where golf carts take you everywhere and there's always something fun around the corner. Discover championship golf, resort-style amenities, and a town center full of shopping and dining. With Ave Maria University and Ave Maria Catholic Church at its heart, it's a community full of connection and charm. More than 25 model homes are available for viewing. More information can be found at avemaria.com. That's avemaria.com.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Marcus Reed. I'm talking with Dr. Roger Nutt. 35 years ago, John Paul II promulgated Ex Corde Ecclesiae, his apostolic constitution on Catholic universities, being born from the heart of the church. Roger, I'd like to pick up where we left off. So we were talking about logical thinkers being formed in sound Catholic universities. What this also demonstrates, therefore, that when institutions, especially at the level of tertiary education, are afraid to engage truth qua truth, what you get is not an education, you get a kind of malformation.
Unfortunately, that happens all too often today, Marcus. Even in many Catholic universities, there are still over 200 Catholic universities in North America today. And John Paul II says in the document that one of the reasons why the church sponsors universities is because the world needs Catholic leaders in every profession, people who are challenged to human and professional excellence while also being able to be witnesses to their faith. That's how the gospel permeates every sphere of society. So graduates of Catholic universities are essential to education, to healthcare, to law, to media, and unfortunately right now too many universities are failing to challenge their students to grow in this way, and therefore Catholics are not serving as the leaven that the church needs them to be in society.
If I may invite you to comment on the detriment that has done to the common good of society. It is incumbent upon the baptized to seek out the formation of the intellect and then be that leaven to form the culture unto the truth of Christ and his church.
That's right. John Paul II was not afraid of excellence. Mm-hmm. And he understood that evangelization was not only spreading the gospel in the myriad of ways that people can share their faith, but the spreading of the gospel also included the church helping people transform culture, whole cultures. And that's why the church sponsors universities, not just to form individuals, but to make sure that the gospel permeates entire cultures. So to answer your question, there are simply not enough well-formed Catholics and well-formed Christians today who are able to witness to their faith in every sphere of society. And so the end result is that the gospel is not sufficiently present and permeating our culture, and people are suffering because of that.
And meanwhile, as Catholics take a back seat and cede the work of cultural formation to secularism, all we are seeing is the lies of the so-called Enlightenment period coming to bear, and fragmentation upon fragmentation, a completely incoherent epistemology and anthropology. If you could please comment on that, Roger.
Well, I think you stated it well. There is a positive corollary, I think, Marcus, and that is many of the current leaders in our society and the leaders in the renewal of our society, whether it's people in media like you or Bishop Barron on the one hand, or Justices Alito and Amy Coney Barrett and Justice Thomas on the other hand, or the vice president of the United States. So it is the case that well-formed Catholics are almost like an unstoppable force that God uses, but we need thousands and thousands more of them right now.
Yep. And the thousands more have to order the way we think about truth, and including the cultural engagement, the building of society, to the logos, the truth incarnate itself, and therefore truth being objective, which, gosh, is a scandalous statement in today's generation.
It sure is. And I think if I have one message for high school students or parents who are thinking about sending their children off to college, and that is, all of the moral problems and cultural problems that we have in society today and in the West are downstream of a fundamental problem, and I think it's a crisis of truth.
Mm.
That and that is really where universities are failing. The Catholic faith is not just a warm consolation. The Catholic faith is the truth about God and how the world relates to God, and therefore it can integrate all truth into itself. So Catholic universities and people who are looking to continue their education at the tertiary level should have as their first criteria the degree to which the institution is committed to truth, to the transmission of the truth, and to living out the truth in the university community.
And one of the ways that Ave Maria University does this so powerfully as a public witness is by having not just the faculty, but also doctoral candidates take on the mandatum and profess fidelity to the magisterium in the context of liturgy. And it's a beautiful thing to behold. Could you please share with us about this, Roger?
Yes, it's a canonical requirement, predates Ex Corde, actually, mm-hmm. that theologians at Catholic universities are to make an oath of fidelity and profession of faith as part of a process of receiving what the Church calls a mandatum, or a mandate from the local bishop that is essentially their certificate to teach at a Catholic university mm-hmm. because they've pledged fidelity. Ex Corde reaffirmed this requirement, because theology is the overarching discipline, because it draws upon divine revelation that provides that coherent, true view of reality. So at Ave Maria University, it's very important for us to require this of our theologians, but not require it simply as a private matter, mm-hmm. but to enshrine it at the beginning of the year in the Mass of the Holy Spirit, when our local bishop is here to help us inaugurate the year. We have all new theology faculty make that profession and take that oath in public, in the presence of the university community, and it's a requirement for any candidate to teach theology here at Ave Maria University to be able to receive the mandatum from the bishop. And that way, people who study here are ensured that the theology faculty will be faithful to the Catholic tradition and work hard to perpetuate the truth of the Catholic faith in the classroom.
And one thing I do want to also point out, very charitably I want to add, is that while this is expected of theologians and therefore departments of theology within Catholic universities, it isn't always the case that theologians and these departments seek out the mandatum.
That's right. I would say, again, charitably, that most commonly it is not the case. And by most commonly, I don't know if that's 55% of the time or 70% of the time, but it's fair to say, and not a stretch, that the requirement to receive the mandatum is something that is not maintained at most Catholic universities.
And addressing those most Catholic universities, without something like the mandatum, a public declaration of fidelity to the magisterium, and without appealing, therefore, to the spirit and the intent of Ex Corde Ecclesiae, what we wind up seeing are institutions that are Catholic in name, but they embrace the secularist paradigm of fragmentation of knowledge, and that just results in capitulation to the spirit of the age.
That's right, and it's really it's so indistinguishable from non-Catholic education that they're really sort of creating a circular firing line in which there is no compelling reason to go to a school like this over a cheaper secular counterpart. And we see right now a fairly significant contraction in higher education in America and in Catholic education because of that, I think, Marcus, is that for a while, many of these institutions were able to trade on reputations from a bygone age. But as we've seen chaos on campuses across America the last 4 or 5 years, people really are starting to wonder whether these universities that have lost their way are worth their time and their money anymore.
And that is a true consideration, a very valid one at that. And so I'd like to invite some speculation here in terms of culture building. I believe that the way monasteries of early Europe formed culture, formed Catholic culture around the villages and communities, I sincerely believe Catholic universities and institutions are doing that today. And I'd like to ask you to speak to how Ave Maria University is doing that for the town of Ave Maria.
Sure. I think the word you use is key to it, community. Mm. We tend to think of universities today in the ideal of the German research university, where what happens in the classroom and the lab almost exhausts the work of the university.
Right.
But at Ave Maria University, we view the curricular life and the non-curricular life, the life in the dorms, the lectures, the performances, to be essential parts of formation as well.
Mm.
So we try to have a culture on our campus in which liturgical life, dorm life, the requirements of the sports teams, and the expectations that we have for our faculty and our students as students are all animated by the Catholic faith. And so the culture building element that you articulate that we did see in monasteries is happening at Ave Maria University because we have a true community that is animated by the Catholic faith in and out of the classroom.
Amen. And I witnessed it firsthand. Roger, thank you so much for making the time to join us.
God bless. It's always wonderful to speak with you, Marcus.
My guest has been Dr. Roger Nutt, Provost of Ave Maria University and Professor of Theology there, too. We've been talking about Ex Corde Ecclesiae, which is the apostolic constitution by John Paul II, about how universities, Catholic universities, are born from the heart of the church, as Ave Maria University is. Thank you for joining us. I'm Marcus Peter.